Hello, and thank you for joining us for a few inspirational moments of peace, love, and amazing conversation with C. Melita Webb. You know, today I was sitting here and doing my usual, trying to find things that I can't see. And so I'm feeling around and it dawned on me that I just need to use my voice while I have it. And so the recording may sound a little different, but we're going to make it work. I have been working with a health coach, and initially I had listed out the things I thought I wanted to work on, which, you know, was breathing and pain control and sometimes the emotions that get away from me. And what I realized as I started this process was that there were other things that were triggering me, that were affecting my health, that I wasn't seeing. And what was the catalyst for that realization was trying to listen to the George Floyd case and that trial. And as I started listening to that case and hearing the witnesses, and I forgot what they call it, it's a certain witness for Spark of Life or something like that, that just speak to the quality of the individual and what their life is, it dawned on me that, you know, people don't always see each other as we are, which are beautiful gifts from God. We're just human and we're blessed. And so I spent a week of just deep soul searching, you know, allowing my body to cry, allowing myself to heal. And as I was doing that, it was like these layers of an onion being pulled back and peeled off. And I realized that I had been carrying a lot of toxic pain, more emotional pain, and energy that was not mine to carry. Meaning that each time someone disrespected my life or impeded my progress, I was making excuses for why I didn't have to deal with it. I was saying, that's not going to stop me. That's okay. That's just them. And I wasn't really allowing myself to say, wow, and calling it out and saying, I don't appreciate what you're doing to me right now. And most of the reason was because it was people in authority. It was, you know, teachers, or it was doctors, or, you know, it could be, you know, I guess those are the ones primarily, teachers, doctors, and, you know, managers, directors, and jobs and positions that I've held. You know, when a teacher tells you to be quiet, they don't want to hear it. That's not the way you talk to a child. When a doctor says, well, no, you've taken this medication before and I want you back on it, and you know your own history, and you go, no, I've never taken that medication before, and there's not a pharmacist anywhere in the world who can tell you that I've taken that medication before, because you never gave it to me, and you also never, you know, you didn't talk to me. You know, you might have mentioned it, but you never said, I want you to take this, and you definitely didn't give me a prescription. And so what I was doing was I was hearing these people's almost personal attacks on me, is what I felt at the time, because of the way I was being treated. And I was letting it roll off my shoulders or shaking it off, not realizing that traces of it was still sitting on my shoulders. And so as I listened to this criminal trial, and I started feeling a lot of anger as just a mother and a human being, and it realized it broke me, and it took me to the bottom of my life. It just took me down there where I was looking down on myself, and I was just saying enough, because I couldn't allow anyone else to pack any more of their mess on my shoulders. And so I know that not everyone can watch the trial, and I don't think everyone should, because I know how it affected me. I did, however, see an article, and I don't remember the newspaper because it flashed across my iPad screen, but it asked the question, should children be allowed to watch this trial? And I'm telling you, no, they should not. Have been, and they should not listen to, they should not listen to the trial. I think that if you're a parent and there are parts of it that you want to pull out and discuss with your child for whatever benefit you might see, that's one thing. But the way that this emotionally impacted me tells me that we cannot afford to put this into our children's spirit. Now, I'm not saying that the awareness that I got from it is bad, because I don't think that's the case. I think that anytime you are able to learn and to grow from an experience, that that's a good thing. What I'm saying to you is that it really messed with my psyche, with my mental acuity, with where I felt in my life. It just took me to so many levels, and I think that if we put that onto a child, it can impact them negatively, because there were some hurtful things that came out in that trial, right? There were so many hurtful things. And if you've been traumatized in the past based upon your race, ethnicity, your religion, your size, or any other choices that you've made, it's going to bring some things up for you if you've got any awareness of yourself at all. And even if you think you are totally aware of how you have been affected by negative things in your life, I'm here to tell you that we don't always know, right? And so as I sit and I started looking at the way I was impacted, I was, it was just really interesting to know that I thought I had dealt with things in my past when in fact I had just pushed it aside. I had pushed it aside and said it was not going to define me without realizing that it was affecting me. And so I think it's important to realize when we have triggers so that we can work through them. However, I don't think it's important for us to constantly be triggered or to make ourselves triggered. I don't find that to be healthy. Now, the reason I wanted to listen to the trial was I wanted to understand what another person sees that allows them to willingly do such a hurtful thing. And the reason I wanted to understand that is because when I'm writing, I want to have a 360 degree view of the issue so that I can actually address it. And I understand I'm not going to always understand everything that's going on around me, and there are going to be some things I'm just never going to get, because there's just some things I can't do, I wouldn't do, and I wouldn't uphold anyone else in doing, such as what he did. But I think that it's interesting, because I had not understood the theory of really truly being triggered until I was triggered in that moment. I found myself, you know, hollering at the screen, and I like screaming at the top of my lungs, just going, are you kidding me? You know, that kind of thing. And going, for real, that's what you're gonna stand on? Okay, you're not even willing to listen to fact. And you're sitting here and you're being defensive. You know, I was going through all those emotions, and thankfully, it was just me and my puppy in the room, so it wasn't a problem. But it alerted me to how we sometimes will couch our thoughts or curb them to the audience because we don't feel like we have a voice, or we don't feel like we have a right to impact that person in that way. And I know we have the freedom of speech. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just good, loving humans who have conversations every day without realizing that we are not being maybe 100% accurate, because we've learned to look at the other person's feelings, which I totally agree needs to be taken into consideration. But I also believe we need to work a little bit with tough love, not in a way that they did it back in the 70s and the 80s, you know. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, we need to have those conversations, because if I'm this triggered and I am trying to help other people, and I don't know that I'm this triggered, then I can only help that person so much. And it didn't cause me to have a bias against police officers or against Caucasian people. That didn't occur. What it caused me to do was to look at how I had been impacted by things that had been thrown at my body that felt like arrows, like negativity. And so, you know, we're currently working on the format of this new book, which is primarily what I consider community poetry. It's the things that I have either grown up with, seen, read about, or been told about that have impacted our community. And so it still has a faith feeling and a faith-based flow, but it's going to address things a little differently. This is kind of one of those tough love books, kind of like my Built for God's Glory, where I put in a lot of the essays of my heart and some of the poems that were a little bit more impactful for what I was dealing with and for what I think our community deals with. And so my collection is kind of a blended family, much like we are. You know, I've got my encouraging books, I've got, you know, my inspirational books, my motivational books, and each one of them is like a journey of growth in God and in faith for me. And so that's what I'm offering to you. So, you know, it's just interesting to look at how we see one another. And that's what I got out of this trial. You know, as his brother spoke, and I think his name was Felonious, as he spoke, my heart was just so, I had the smile on my face, and I was just so impressed with the love of a brother for another brother. That was what I got out of that. And you know, it also helped me see a little bit more about who George Floyd was. Because a lot of times, I don't know who these people are. I don't know who the celebrities are that are out here now. I don't know who the seniors are. And I get to hearing these names and I go, who is that person? And they go, oh, they starred in this movie. And I'm like, what is that movie? Because I'm just not in the media like that anymore. I'm not out there in a place where I can get out there and know who the stars are, know who the latest singers are. I'm still with Michael Jackson and Evelyn Champagne King and, you know, Peaches and Herbs. I mean, I'm with the soul. And so, you know, you might have to go back and look up a few of those, because you're going to go, who? Yeah, but those are the good ones. And, you know, my favorite of all times is Luther. But my point is this. Don't allow your children to be triggered by watching this movie. Or this, not movie, this trial. And my second point is, if you are triggered, sit with the feelings and allow your body to feel it. And then if you don't want to continue to be triggered as severely, journal, write, make notes. Free your spirit. Take the energy that's been heaped on your back and remove it. Shake it off, flick it off, kick it off, whatever you need to do. But heal, choose to heal. And that's what I think our tears are there to remind us, that we need to heal. Because if it hadn't been for the tears, I would have not realized the wounds in my heart. And those wounds are, they're powerful, because, you know, it's like a scab or a scar. It says that I have survived, that I made it through, that I am strong, and that I am not weak. And neither are you. What I want you to do is to take steps each day that further your ability to heal and grow your life, so that you don't become stagnant and you don't lose the flavor that is in your heart. Every one of us has remarkable DNA, and that DNA carries the wishes, the hopes, the dreams, and the love of every previous generation. Whether you were fortunate enough to live when some of your elders lived and you met them or not doesn't really isn't really my issue, because I still believe that they are within you. You know, I'm reminded of a thought from my mom, and I, you know, she was telling me this story about my mother and how she liked bottles. And when she told me that, it was like I perked up and I almost jumped out of my seat. I was like, are you kidding me? I've saved bottles for years. And you know, I have these bottles for, you know, people get these liquor bottles and the bottles are just beautiful. Now, I can't tell you what the liquor was that was in them because I didn't drink it. But I can tell you the curve of the bottle. I can tell you the weight of the bottle and the feel of the bottle. And I have never understood why I loved bottles so much. But when my mother told me that, I was like, oh my gosh, I have something from grandma. And it's something I never knew, right? Now, it could be just, you know, it could be just what they call a serendipitous, or you know, a fluke, but I prefer to believe that that's my connection to my grandmother, even though I didn't know it, right? And so, you know, my grandmother, I don't know if I told you not, but she had passed when I was 60, in 68 when I was 2, and so I had no knowledge of her. You know, I don't know that she held me, or she rubbed my head, or she kissed my knee if I fell. I don't know any of that. I don't remember her touch. But my mother told me that, yes, she did love me and she did hold me, and she bought a lot of things for me. Her favorite color, I believe, was yellow. So all the dresses she bought was yellow. And so those are good feelings and emotions that I love, just because I've heard from her, from my mother, about her. And, you know, and sometimes I'll ask my aunts, I'll say, you know, guys, tell me something else. I just want to know something else. And so what I want you to do is think about that. Think about the fact that everything that you touch, that you feel, has a deeper connection than just your touch. Everything that you see has a more profound meaning when you realize how connected you are to the original source. And you know, you are just worthy of so much goodness. I just want you to know that. So work on anything that's triggering you. Speak up for yourself. And if you feel that something is weighing on your shoulders, remove it. Remove it and walk with a lighter step. Heal your heart, because that's what we've got to do more of each day. And, you know, I'm just thankful that God has given me the ability to speak with you today, you know, and I'm hoping that something in my message to you resonates with you and allows you to maybe clear your journey a little bit more too. As always, I welcome your thoughts and look forward to just hearing any comments that you have. Share the thoughts podcast with someone you love. And together we'll walk better and we'll do better. I'm going to wish you a beautiful morning, a wonderful afternoon, and a blessed evening of peace. Go out, enjoy your day, and make it the best day of your life. Goodbye.